Jack the Ripper had it good, you could say. The guy terrorized London in the late 19th century. He was a cold-blooded murderer, and yet he's become something of a popular villain today, kind of like Billy the Kid. But now some people want to reframe the story of Jack the Ripper. Here's the world's Amanda McGowan.
When it comes to grisly serial killers, you cannot get more notorious than Jack the Ripper.
In the autumn of 1888, London's huge metropolis was gripped by fear.
There's been so many films, TV shows, and even fictionalized accounts of his crimes. Michael Caine starred in this 1980s miniseries, though not as the Ripper himself, by the way.
So terrible was the savagery that the world remembers it still. Jack the Ripper.
And today in London, Jack the Ripper is big business. Visit Whitechapel, the neighborhood he once terrorized, and you can hop on a walking tour to see the killer's lurid crimes. You'll learn about the unsolved murders, the mutilations. You can play detective with evidence and suspects, and even see the gruesome crime scene photos. But there's one thing you might not learn that much about.
Most people don't know the real stories about the victims, nor do people really recognize that they were real people.
That's Hallie Rubenhold. She's a historian and author of the book The Five. It's a biography of Jack the Ripper's five known victims. Rubenhold is working to install a permanent mural in Whitechapel honoring them.
Putting the five women that he killed right back in the center of Whitechapel, where they belong, is a type of restorative justice, I think. And it certainly means we can't ignore them.
Their names were Polly Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly. Rubenhold says that over the years, the Jack the Ripper story has gone from fact to fiction. The conventional wisdom is that all five women were sex workers, picked up by the killer while they were soliciting at night. But Rubenhold's research cast doubt on that story. Her conclusions are controversial in the Ripperology community, but she says only the final victim, Mary Jane Kelly, fits the popularized description.
And the others had lived very long lives by the standards of the day. They were in their 40s and they had become alcoholics. They'd had a number of really bad circumstances direct their lives, and they were by and large homeless.
Rubenhold isn't the only one trying to recenter these stories. Katie Wignall is a tour guide for Look Up London. She runs a walking tour of Whitechapel too, but hers is a little different. She calls it the feminist Jack the Ripper tour.
Really, for me, it was to move completely away from the murders, from speculating on who might have committed the crimes, and really to focus on life, not just of the most famous five victims of Jack the Ripper, but also about the lives of women in the East End.
Her tour highlights stories about the neighborhood that aren't about murder and death.
We talk about a group of women who led a successful strike in the same year, 1888. So it nicely contrasts with this idea of women as just victims in the 19th century.
Her tour talks about Jack the Ripper, but she says it also shows a more dynamic historical portrait of Whitechapel. And that's Hallie Rubenhold's hope, too, with the mural. She doesn't think any of the more conventional Ripper tours should be canceled or banned. But she says over the years, the story has become all about him. And by tipping the scales toward the victims, there is a lot that can be learned.
True crime can tell us about the victim, too. True crime can give us an understanding of the society in which a murder took place and can give us a long view of why they happened, why they still happen, could they happen again. You know, it can be very thought-provoking and very educational.
Now she'll be meeting with the local council to try to make the mural happen. For The World, I'm Amanda McGowan.